Okay, it's 6 p.m., so we'll call the Plan Commission meeting of Monday, November 23rd, 2015 to order. We'll start with roll call. Dart?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Rapp?
Here.
Retzlaff?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here.
Adrian Skowalczyk is excused, and Kornowski is here. We'll move on to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Are there any changes or comments?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Current agenda carries. Item number three, the minutes from October 26, 2015. If anybody has any comments or revisions?
Under discussion of the state legislation on the use of surplus revenue in the stadium sales tax, I thought we had given a list of items in discussion at the meeting. I'm surprised some of those aren't listed here. Were they actually recorded in some fashion?
I'm trying to think back, too. Wasn't there a list in the previous minutes from the previous meeting before this one that were in the minutes?
Right. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I don't have my notes from the last meeting, but I remember if I wrote down anything, but if we did discuss it, it would be in the audio recording. So
I remember looking at the list, and I think we were asked to see if there were any others. It's possibly, and I think that's what it was, that we could contact you if we had anything else to add. In other words, we had a list. There was a composite. That's what I remember.
That's what I remember, too.
Yeah, I think it might have been in a memo, actually.
Yeah, I think they included the same, and close to the same list in the memo for the session as well.
And did anything from the general public discussion get on this list?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. This was in there when we had that meeting. The agenda was already there.
Is there a motion to approve the minutes from October 26th?
I move to approve.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Retzlaff abstains. I need to listen to the recording first to refresh my memory.
So. Okay. Thanks, Kerry. Number four, announcements. Are there any announcements?
I'm sure
you're all aware, but quick drip, get approved.
When is construction starting
from now? I think they said they're planning to start some preliminary stuff in spring and then by summer officially start.
Okay, great. Anything else? Okay, we'll move on to item number five, public appearances. If there's anybody from the public that wants to come up and address the commission, you certainly can now. If you're here for a specific agenda item, we'll suspend the rules and allow you to speak to the specific agenda item. So, really, it's up to you guys. looks like no, so we can certainly move on. Item number six, action regarding a petition from Capital Credit Union, site plan review on parcel AL-56-11-A, located at 201 West St. Joseph Street. You have the floor, Trevor.
All right. Included in your packet, there's plans submitted by Capital Credit Union. Relatively straightforward, simple project. We 413 square feet total addition to a break room and an office. The materials can be matching. Everything's going to be matching. Parking, it's 200, one parking space for 200 square feet. There should be about 2,800 square feet. So, or a little over 2,800, so 15 spots, and that's what we currently have. Of course, everything else has to building permits and final review by the public works director have to be approved, but that means in a later process. No additional signs that go up. Like I said, pretty straightforward. And Dave is here from Keller's. He's going to talk about the project in further detail if you have any questions for him.
Yeah, if you'd like, you can step to the podium and just kind of go over the concept of the project. State your name and address, too, just for the record.
Dave Stubbs from Keller. I'm the general contractor for Capital One.
Perfect.
We hope to get started on the project already in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully the weather holds out as it has been so far. But yeah, as Trevor was mentioning, just a small addition off to the west side. No additional signage, no additional light poles. The soffit lighting will continue as it is today in the overhangs. We're going to continue that theme around the perimeter of the addition. And one of the comments, I don't know if this is from you, Trevor, that was emailed to me, a couple of the items. There is already a bike rack out front. I was not aware of that, but there is one already. Otherwise, what else do you want to hear?
Under allowable area, it has a 6,700 square foot frontage increase. What is that referring to? That confused me. On the title sheet, there's the project information and talks about the addition and occupancy and specifications.
All that refers to is addressing the state as far as the type of construction and the type of use. That's the maximum. So my drafting department, my architects put that on the plan. It's just saying that's the biggest the facility could ever get.
Okay.
So it's just answering some of the state questions as it is getting prepared to go to the state. That's all that is. It's squeezed in there, so I doubt Capital is going to be expanding it again anytime soon.
Is there a zoning requirement for percentage of pervious area?
I believe that was checked over good on the truck.
Right. I'm trying to remember it offhand, but they exceeded it pretty significantly.
Is there going to be an entrance into the proposed addition? And how is the sidewalks going into them?
No. It'll only be access from the interior, the existing entrances. That sidewalk that is shown going up there, it's actually an existing sidewalk where actually it just comes around the corner and stops now where it shows. We're actually going to cut it back to stop just shy of the corner of the building.
Do you have an easement to enter the adjacent property?
Yeah, Trevor emailed us about that. I passed that on to Capital. And Amy here is the branch manager. She's pretty confident there is one, but in the short notice, we were not able to get our hands on it. So we recognize that that would be a condition. to provide a copy of that easement.
Access easement.
Do you have an automatic teller machine at the facility?
I believe there is one, right? The ATM? Oh, there's not one.
No.
There'd have to be an easement because of the drive-thru, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they also have an emergency exit going into that adjacent property.
That would be recorded at the register of deeds.
This is an observation, but and it kind of relates to our antiquated zoning code, but your facility is pretty close to, it's adjacent to our one high-density residential district. And I know the village is kind of playing catch-up on pedestrian access, but have you thought of trying to provide an improvement to aid pedestrian access from the St. Joseph's? Should people have decided to walk?
I know they came up in review as well, and I don't know how it best to provide that or what you guys be looking for.
Well, I think the sidewalk ends along St. Joseph, if I'm not mistaken, right across the street there. And the only potential I could see that would really make sense would be extending something kind of along the property line.
Yeah, some sort of a marking through the parking lot that would, because you know you've got this large area of grass here. Pedestrians wouldn't be expected to walk across that necessarily. But you know, if you want to walk to the bank here, and you're walking down St. Joseph's to get there, there's your only option is really to walk through the parking drive-through. So again, it's just an observation, but it's something that, at least in our comprehensive plan and in our recent studies, we've been promoting pedestrian access and pedestrian facilities in our recent corridor study. We're showing a multi-use trail running along St. Joseph's. So it's just a design thought. It'd be nice if designers would kind of go beyond the minimum in their designs, I suppose. That's all. Thank you.
What's your traffic plan there? Is it probably more for you? Is when they come out of the drive-through, people are pushed into that other parking lot, right?
Yeah.
And the egress out of that parking lot too.
Right now, they use the easement to get out into Bellin's driveway. So when vehicles come up to use the drive-through, they come in actually from both entrances. Typically, I would say it's 50-50. Some people come in the easement, some people come in the direct driveway that goes directly to the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have two lanes for traffic there. Allowable to have three, one for an ATM, but there's not any plan of getting an ATM anytime soon. But yeah, they come there, we put up like little yield signs so that people know to caution over to the easement.
I hope it exists.
Me too.
I'm 90% positive.
Yeah.
If they're using the easement now, you would think it exists.
Yeah.
They want to fuss
somebody approached me about it about 2 years ago. I just didn't get any documentation of it, so.
It was just brought to our attention today with an email from Trevor, so powers to be at Capitol that probably knows about it is probably up in a tree someplace.
Yeah, sure. Okay. It's a pretty minor addition. I don't really have any other comments. I'm pretty okay with moving forward. Everybody else is, but I'll certainly entertain a motion or more discussion.
I'm good.
Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion too. Susan is submitted.
Motion, is there a second?
Can you just be clear, is that a condition that you speak?
Of course.
Okay.
Probably addressing the comments to receive by the staff.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
We on item number 7, action discussion of the state legislation on the use of the surplus revenue from the Brown County 0.5% sales tax. So, Trevor, you mentioned that this is the same list that was in front of us before. Is it a little different? I know Roger's comment regarding using the money possibly for hiring, I guess, a real estate firm or some other marketing potential to put together actual documents to advertise a property. I believe that's what that was one that you had.
That's. I think we discussed that related to the RFP that you were sending out.
Okay.
But my main comment last time, and I made a similar comment to the village board at their last meeting, was that we engage a qualified or a consultant with a national reputation and a proven track record of helping communities like ours in updating their zoning code so that it represents the vision of a comprehensive plan and other visioning that the community might have engaged in. So I think we're well aware that our zoning code is antiquated based on what we hold as contemporary values for the character of the community.
I do have all the comments that were presented last Tuesday at the village board meeting on added to this list, but you don't have that yet. So it's just a continuous running list that we've been putting together.
And Roger's comments would be on that one.
Yes,
regarding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the important thing is, as we look through the list, is this manner of assessing what the value of the comments. Now, this refers to how you determine what economic development is. So seems to be pointing to that being kind of the weakest of the three possible uses for the money.
So I wasn't at last week's meeting, but I know I saw a story on the news about some interviews with residents on how Alloway in particular should use their portion of the refund, and I think almost everyone, if not everyone that was interviewed, was interested in putting it towards the water line debt and lowering water bills. So is that a very common theme, or did the people that at the news just happen to interview all, five people in the community that want that particular use for the fund? It just seemed like it was a strong direction that people were saying, at least in that story.
You did have one gentleman get up and suggest that, and it received some applause from the crowd. No one else brought that up. I actually have my notes here from the meeting. I can read off what was suggested.
Was there a comment box ever, like for written comments? No, it was just whatever was presented at the meeting. Okay. Yeah, I would like to hear, because I wasn't able to be at that meeting last night.
Property tax relief, updated zoning code, property tax relief again, debt reduction, invested in Village Hall site, debt reduction, road construction, the water debt, sidewalks, parks, and bike and bed stuff, debt reduction, emergency fund, market and community, and roads.
Skating rink.
Right.
That was in the park, I suppose.
That's hard. You know, this is just my opinion, but using this type of money for debt service on an enterprise fund account, it just doesn't make a lot of sense in my mind. If this was general debt, general obligation debt, and it was, you know, increasing property taxes or whatever else, then possibly, but not debt service on an enterprise fund. That's not going to be the most effective use, I guess, business-wise for the village to make an impact or for people to even notice it, because it's not going to lower the water bills. It just won't.
In theory, the idea sounded really good, but without really knowing how it works or operates, does it really decrease, you know, our debt, or is it a combined debt? I don't know exactly how it works.
The debt is incurred by Central Brown County.
That's what I thought. It's not held by us.
Right. It's not just our debt.
Right.
And you're talking $100 million, give or take?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and the gentleman that was bringing this up is, I would have felt pretty aware of what's going on, so I was a little bit confused of how that would work, because I didn't think we were holding debt for the water.
I think he was just frustrated that the water bills are so high, and as you compare other communities, Alloway is probably one of the highest in the region for per household water bills. So that's...
But is there anything significant that could even be done using this amount of money that would make a difference in that? Because I think that's what people want to see, is a difference has been made by the use of that money. If we could make an appreciable difference in the water bills by using this funding in that direction, I think that would be helpful. But if in the end people will see a 4-cent decrease on their water bill and will feel like we had all this money to use and I
got nothing out of it.
Then I would discourage going that direction with it.
And another part of the problem is that the most recent action on water bills that affected people, so certain fees that were paid for out of our property taxes were moved onto the water bill as expenses that we were obligated, so it increased the water bill that way. So, and I don't know why that was. Was that a state requirement? Is that something that came from state government?
Are you referring to the fire hydrant
charge?
Yeah, half of the fire hydrant charge got shifted over to the water bill.
Two or three years ago? That one?
Somewhere along that line.
It was a while.
50% of it is still on the general tax levy.
But it's looking to be shifted.
It's a potential that could be shifted in the future.
And what's causing that to happen? Why isn't it still staying in the tax levy?
Well, we're going through a rate case right now, and this is the opportune time to be able to do something like that while you're going through the rate case. What what it does is it frees up potential another source of revenue to put into roads or other projects within the village. Because you're taking that debt.
So you're basically increasing the water bill to residents and using that portion of the tax money for something else.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Well, and there's one other point in there that the not-for-profits aren't paying for the fire charge otherwise. This way some of it gets distributed to people that don't pay taxes but they're paying on their water bills. So that's one of the components of people's agreement on that.
Not only not for profits, but state agencies as well. So like the correctional.
I was going to say the correction. And they use a lot of water.
But is that's charged based on your usage or just a flat charge for the parcel size or something?
It's a flat charge by the size of the meter you have running the end, but they must have more than one in there. I mean,
I'm not sure what they all have.
Yeah, I would imagine that it's
that they would pay.
They got to be like a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, we've got.
Has the village board had has this been on an agenda at the village board level yet?
Which part?
The actual thing we're talking about.
Just a conversation. just the same kind of conversation.
Right.
And then we had the people come in last week.
Yeah.
So it's been on there a couple times. And looking at the boards, putting their input in there. And then the public input. And then economic development and ours and staffs.
Sure. When do we think this money is actually going to be available?
Most likely this year.
Okay.
But to be honest with you, I think this is going to take a lot of time yet.
Yeah.
In order to sort out, take all the ideas that have been laid out. For some, obviously, you're going to, someone will end up grading them, whether it's the board, whether it's through a survey, but it's right now the idea is to gather as many ideas so you have them on paper to start with, and then start whittling away from that point. Each time, from what I understand, the way it's going to work, if X dollar was assigned to state sidewalks, a specific dollar amount will need to be identified, project identified, locations, and then a resolution passed by the board that they're authorizing these funds to be utilized for this sole purpose, and then that has to be shared with the Department of Revenue.
Is there reimbursement? Is it cost reimbursement, or do we get the money up front?
The money will be up front.
Really?
Yeah, there is an there's a potential there will be some additional revenue coming in because of some of the 0.5% sales tax that was still collected towards the very end.
Sure.
So, at the village board meeting, I asked the board to let everyone know how they're going to make their decisions before that goes through. Are they, in fact, going to do something like that? Or?
Eventually they're going to have to indicate how they're going to make the decision and how they're going to select these projects. But again, we're still at the beginning stages. We don't have the money in hand. The bill has not been signed, which it will be coming up in the very near future. So it's just trying to plan ahead.
Is there a sunset on the money? Does it have to be used in a certain period?
Okay.
One of the ideas was to save it.
Yeah. And collect all that interest that everybody's getting right now?
Yeah. Big interest.
That's a good idea.
Well, some of the ideas may not, in fact, qualify. For instance, I don't know that an emergency fund would qualify.
Right.
So.
Right. I would think the first step would be decide what you're going to use the money for. At 5%, is 100% going to go to debt? Or is, you know, 20% or?
Well, they would have to develop some scenarios and, you know, project scenarios to establish budgets that to apply that to.
Yeah, I mean, you just, first of all, you have to decide which of the three or how much of the three you want it to go to.
It almost seems like we're putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit. I think we should come up with a real process as to how we're going to figure this out. From kind of like Roger's point, like what are we actually, what's actually going to happen? You know, we got a big list. We're getting a little paralysis by analysis with a big list like this. So what's the structure going forward?
The intent from Representative Steppen, get public input. So that's
sure.
What we're really trying to do is get public input.
Right.
And, you know, someone might have that $719,000 idea out there that may turn $719,000 into huge debt reduction because it is being invested in various projects or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That if it is invested in economic development, you've got a long-standing revenue source that's coming back in.
Right.
Now, the discussion or the decision is taking the three areas that have been identified, economic development, debt reduction, tax relief, find out what is, you know, is it 100% here, is it 33, 33, those sort of things. So until you have a list and get an idea of what people are really thinking, you don't know which direction you might want to go. Is it, if the list is full of simply completely tax relief, well, then you really know where the general public is speaking from.
Mm-hmm.
Roger had made a comment at the beginning of our discussion about hiring a consultant to go through this process to sort things out. I guess I'm kind of in favor of that, but I'm asking the question, not trying to be critical, but are we able to, the village staff and the village board and everyone else qualified or capable of making the right choice without outside help? You know, do we have the expertise to decide how to leverage debt reduction versus, you know, home improvement loans or grants? I mean, you know, how do we quantify the impact of each of those? Are we qualified internally to do that, or do we need somebody to help us who does this for a living?
Well, I think some of the aspects are okay. See, if you were to take the $719,000 and apply it towards our current debt that the village has, $22 million, is that 3%? Is that a wise investment? It very well could be to reduce that debt by 3%. Now,
who answers that question? That's all I'm saying. Who answers the question that you just raised? You know, is that a wise decision to reduce it by 3%?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. You're going to be looking at, if you're investing the money into properties, okay, the property value goes up $10,000 on a business, and $5,000 was invested. Well, that's going to continue, hopefully, in the near future. So then you can do some analysis to find out what that economic impact is. If you're doing debt reduction, you know what that is based on the capital improvement plan, saying in 3 years or in 5 years or 10 years, what we're looking at incurring additional debt. So do we make up? Do we make any ground, or do we lose ground?
Yeah. So that requires some.
Yeah.
Some
analysis. And that's what we're working on.
Yeah. And some of these questions or some of these points is kind of hard to put a dollar value. You know, create green spaces around businesses, white wayfinding signs. I mean, who knows if that creates value or not? We don't know. I don't know.
We might want to look at, and if the rules probably haven't come out yet, but I would be surprised if we would be able to issue loans and charge any type of payback or any type of interest. Because I don't know if the rules are created yet, I don't know if they will be, but the intent probably was not to create a revolving loan fund. Maybe it was. Maybe you can. And in that case,
that's your rate of return.
One of the problems economic development talked about with that is the paperwork involved, and who is going to be doing that?
Right, you're running a bank.
Right.
Yeah.
We have your bankers in that group.
And again, that's why you start to throw this stuff out, so you can analyze what something, if something really does make sense, because that's a perfect example. If all of a sudden, you know, you're creating this, this small business loan, you're taking $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 and setting it aside, well, what's the backside of that? What's the cost of staff? And that's one of the things you don't want to do. So, again, by putting these on the paper, you can start to then the process of elimination take care of a lot of them.
What does that process of elimination look like, do you think? Is it going to go back to the board? Or anyway, that's going to...
It's going to involve the board the whole way through.
Yeah.
You know, you got economic development that came up with some ideas, and they're going to be coming back again with some additional recommendations. Again, the recommendation park committee look at them, public works, you know, and they're going through everybody, through all the committees. And then, again, it's ultimately, it's going to be the board. The board's going to have to make the decision whether it's sending the money back to everybody. And if you do, how are you going to? You know, there's yet another question. You're refunding the money to everybody. Are you doing it based on the population? Are you basing it on number of households? About the apartments? What about those that lived here that moved away? What about those that just moved in? So everything has something that has to be looked at in great depth. Now, it's nice to receive $719,000, but it does come with some headaches. But if we can find something that truly makes the community benefit from it, then that's what we need to do.
We can also take the list, I think, and at the point we feel like the list is complete and we've done enough on it, and just go, this one doesn't meet the criteria, and this, and, you know, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
Then just start there. But right now, it's just a running list. It's like, just take a blank wall and write it all down.
Yeah, setting the criteria is probably going to be the tough part, but that needs to happen. It's got to meet three core values or something of that nature to really go through it.
And working with the other communities around here to find out what they're doing, and you know, the more people thinking about it to come up with the right solution, that's the way to go about it.
Yeah.
Can it cause friction and tension? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you got the tragedy of the commons here going on right now. So we'll see what happens going forward from narrowing this down.
So there is no, at this point, there's no timeline as far as when the Planning Commission needs to formally say, well, these are the items that we'd like to add. You know, if you think of them, send them over. Just keep sending them in.
Is it possible for us to have our own discussion and weigh in on what we feel would be most valuable?
Absolutely. That ultimately, that would be the nice thing from the Planning Commission's perspective. This is where we feel is the best value.
So basically, we really don't have anything to do on this right now, except for keep thinking.
Well, or maybe what the direction is. I mean, we brought up three different things now: the debt reduction, property tax relief, or economic development. Where does this group stand? And are we able to make that type of conclusion right now without knowing if we put $719,000 in the debt reduction, what does that do for the standing of the community? Do we get a bond rating increase? You know, I mean, what does it mean?
Right.
So,
and I would hate to say, during this point, when we're still collecting from the community, I would hate to say we have a stand right now. I would prefer that we're open-minded and take in all the input before we start trying to make any decisions or even say where we stand.
What are the avenues for community input? Was it just that meeting last week, or is there an ongoing website, email?
There's been several emails that were sent out. It's been on Facebook, it's on our website. You know, just encouraging people to...
Just email Trevor with your suggestions kind of thing?
Yeah.
Tell Trevor. Tell Troy.
They'll write them down.
Well, maybe on the Facebook site you could just put a, you know, have a running list of the ideas that have come in. I don't think you have to duplicate, you know, as many people.
I did that from the last Tuesday's meeting. All the duplication, I just took, if it was tax relief, I just put down tax relief.
Okay, so that is on the Facebook page?
Well, it's on my list. I have not turned that back in. I don't think it's on there. It would have been part of the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Or is it easier to just put it on a subpage of our city village website? So
it would be nice to see the list. Doing a survey.
Really, I guess I recommend, not as the planning commission say recommend this, but we need to get to the bottom of what the impact is on debt reduction and what property tax relief looks like, because those are going to be the two things that everybody's going to want until they see that it's not really going to mean anything.
Exactly.
So but that's easy.
We have to be able to answer that question.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that's going to come up. The only squishy item on this list is economic development. The other two are very hard. So we should be able to come up with something.
The thing is that it's, you know, our job as a commission to, you know, care for the vision of the community through the comprehensive plan. And so we should be the most qualified to assess these ideas and say what's going to help us, you know, which of these ideas is going to best help us reach our vision and lead to prosperity for the community. So.
Well, until the list is, when the decision is final, there'll be an item that we can talk about each meeting. And why not? Keep it in the forefront and see what the other communities are planning on doing. When you're talking tax relief, I mean, it's a very, it's so broad. It doesn't have, and that was part of the intent, was to allow communities to get creative and take care of some either long-standing projects that they would like to have seen completed. Wayfinding signs is one of them. You know, that's something that we've always wanted to do, is to direct people around the community, highlight some of the areas we have. Now that's just one example. And that would, you know, when you're saying that's not economic development, but when you're looking at tax relief, well, now we're not putting it on the tax roll to pay for it. So that's why I think any idea out there probably fits the parameters of debt reduction, tax relief, and economic development.
So you're not taking a loan to do it, and you're not getting more taxes to do it.
Yeah, that loans part will be interesting on what the permissions are for that. Because you can go to market with a loan at 2% and, you know, still be making money. But
some of it with just talking about the loan aspect, whether a small business or a home loan. Small business is so much different than a home loan, but they're having trouble handing that out.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want to create something that's already there in place.
It's not working.
That's not easy to us. So.
Right.
Maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any action here, so I think we can just move on if that's okay with everybody. Okay. Moving on to item number 8, update on WSDOT Highway 57 Riverside Drive reconstruction project. It's still 2021 or 2022.
Last Wednesday night was the 4th public information meeting, and unfortunately it wasn't very well attended, I didn't think. it was still attended, but nowhere near the capacity of the previous meetings. It went over, basically, if I'm forgetting something, Howard, please let me know, because I know you're right there. Or Roger, I'm sorry.
Yes, the other guy. He was.
Weren't you there?
No, I wasn't.
Currently, what they're looking at is basically utilizing the footprint that's there with adding some sidewalk and or extending the footprint by 2 feet on both sides or just 2 feet overall in sidewalks. I mean, I wasn't sure what they were talking on that one. Both sides, so a four-foot expansion of the footprint for the roadbed. No bike lanes were included in that.
And no bike accommodations.
Bike accommodations, yeah. So the other aspect is we're looking at doing a resurfacing, a milling, and resurfacing next year. Trying to coordinate so it's not taking place at the same time Webster Avenue closed due to the bridge reconstruction. So they feel that's a $1 million temporary fix. That's about the way it counts, unless I've missed something.
Yeah, the main purpose behind the temporary fix, they said, is because when the plows go through in the wintertime, it chews up the asphalt too much. And, they would have to do even more repair if they let it continue to deteriorate over the next few years. So they're hoping to delay further deterioration by resurfacing only as much as they feel is necessary. So. And then they do still need to maintain two design proposals because they haven't completed negotiations or discussions with the Federal Highway Administration yet. So they are still maintaining a design that shows a bicycle accommodation of, I don't know, maybe 3 feet. I'm not sure what the dimension is, but a design that shows no bicycle accommodations. Bike lanes have not been considered for quite a few months now. So they're not in the picture, and it's a misnomer to talk about bike lanes at this point. The village had asked, had made a point of looking at a narrower solution to see if it would increase the amount of terrace that was available between the curb and the sidewalk. And what they were not able to answer was whether between the two solutions, one where they maintain a bicycle accommodation and one where that is eliminated, what the percentage of increase of terrace is available by the reduction in the road width. So.
Okay, so it sounds like resurfacing is just going to continue ongoing? Or are they going to do one section this year, one section 2016, one section 2017?
No, they plan on doing the whole stretch.
Really?
Well, no, that's a two-year project.
2 years.
They would resurface a portion. They don't know whether it would be, say, south of 172 and then north of 172 or one side and then the other side, but it would be take two construction seasons to do the resurfacing.
But the temporary resurfacing is a 2-month process.
Okay.
I thought they were saying that even that would take, they would do it over two construction seasons.
I know when they do the total reconstruction, it's going to be over 2 years. And they'll do one section of 172 and then, of course, the other section.
Mm-hmm. But then, before that even starts, there would be a year or one construction season worth of utility relocations and upgrades. So.
About 3 years.
Three years.
Tough on businesses.
Well, the thing is that there aren't that many businesses along. I mean, there are a few businesses that are walk-in retail businesses. Mm-hmm. Most of those are in De Pere. I actually think there's probably only one walk-in retail business, maybe two or three, in Alloway at this point. So.
Another thing to keep in mind with all that noise, huge problem with businesses, and restaurants, that type of thing, you know, that might shy away from working on that corridor because of, you know, this long-term construction project, as well as the meetings that they're having out there. Right in, right out, essentially. And a lot of businesses, and that, you know, that affects the volume of cars that can easily turn into your property. So it's a lot of other benefit or other things to consider.
Okay. Anything else on item 8? We're moving on. Discussion of sign code, item number 9. This was a carryover from the previous meeting, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Great. So, really, what I want to do is I really want to start taking a look at our zoning code. I think that's a very valid comment. What Roger brought up earlier is there are some practices in our zoning code that are kind of outdated. The sign code is a more recent one, and overall it's not a bad code. It's actually, it looks really nice. There's, you know, just a few minor tweaks that need to be done to it. One is as a result of the Supreme Court's decision this summer, Reed versus Town of Kilburg. They said that municipalities no longer have the authority to regulate the number of election signs, or everything has to be equal regardless of who's putting it out. Point being, the municipality regularly is size, color, that sort of thing. Message base, or who's putting it out a sign, does not fall under authority. So there's some changes there. The other one is a comment that I received from businesses quite frequently. Where our sign code has really strong language regulating the size, which is great, because you don't want it, in Alloway being a residential community, you don't want it to be very flashy, very gaudy. However, it doesn't take into consideration multi-tenant buildings, such as the Gallagher's strip mall, or the one across the street, or even the Village Grill. Those girls located. You know, we don't have very many of those, but also the Riverside Drive project, that's another periphery effect that construction project will have, because a lot of those office buildings have existing non-conforming use signs. With the reconstruction of the road, those signs will be removed and they'll have to be put in place. And we have three floors of leased tenant space, you know, a 32 square foot sign is very limiting, especially on Riverside Drive. When you drive by, we can see what businesses are located in there. So, kind of looked around at other communities and kind of asked around to what other people were doing. Germantown kind of stuck out to me. I believe it's kind of similar to Alloway in that it's a residential community, but with some suburban things going for it. And I spoke with the planner there. They actually had a sign code very similar to ours, but had the same kind of feedback from businesses that it was very limiting in their exposure that they were able to get out to their customers. So they developed this based off the square footage of tenants. And going over it, something along these lines, I don't think it's too out of line. I think it's practical. But as So the process that I want to go about doing this is get the okay for the unity. Is this something that you guys want to consider? You know, adopting the sign code a few years ago was a pretty lengthy process. If it is something you want to consider, then I'll go ahead and start spending some time on it. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on it if it's not something that's going to go anywhere. If I get the green light from you guys, then I'll draft something together and bring it to the economic development community, get their kind of feedback and input on it, because in our businesses, and then bring the final version to you guys to recommend and make comments on it and bring that to the first board.
Right now, Trevor, are we having a problem right now, or do we just proceed? I mean, other than the multi, because I remember where the Village Grill is, that was a big discussion a few years ago. But other than that, are we having any problems, or are you just kind of thinking on Riverside? I know some of those signs, there's going to be problems in the future. So
a lot of it is anticipation for future problems. Mm-hmm. I have received comments from businesses located up in that complex where Gallagher is located. That's an existing upper-road use that's too tall, and this change wouldn't be allowing that size or that height, but it would allow more space as far as what they would be providing. Then there's that one on Riverside Drive that came to the board meeting. And then there's a few others that approached me about it. But
the, currently, if somebody wants to, let's say we're building a new multi-tenant building, would they require to go through the zoning variance process to get a bigger sign?
How our zoning code was, or the sign code was written, is that you can't get a variance for your sign. You can't even go through a PDD for your sign. So
you can't even go through an appeal?
Right.
Nope.
Nothing.
It really cut down on the amount of people.
Yeah.
At the board meetings talking about signs.
Wow. That's an interesting way to go about it. I believe that it's a necessary change. At first, my thought was, well, if they come with a variance, then we're going to have all sorts of different types of signs, because there's going to be businesses that come in that we really want to come here, and they're going to multi-tenant, and we're going to not want to stop them because of a sign. So you might as well create the maximum allowable.
One of the things, are we looking to change height?
The height would be changing slightly. I think that, for example, Germantown has the max height of 15 feet, and that kind of, or 20 feet, but that kind of expands as the space.
Yeah, the problem with Germantown is they have big box retailing in their city limits. They have Target stores and Costco's, and they have large site industrial buildings. So I don't think Germantown is a good example. Just based on the scale of Alloway, the buildings and the density of build-out, Shorewood might be more reasonable. Maybe Wauwatosa. I don't know what those are.
Right. I think the reason why I look at Germantown is it has a lot of the same residential character. It has those big box stores. But this is a problem that small box and big box companies are facing, is recognition and trying to get your name out there, trying to get exposure. Germantown is the first community that I've seen that's really started to address it. A few years ago, you saw the shift to the small signs, the 32 square foot signs, which is pretty common around here. But now you're starting to see a pushback from the business community. And so Germantown is one of the first communities that really started addressing this issue. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not we adopt word for word what Germantown is implementing is one thing, but I think it's something we should definitely consider.
Is it possible to kind of compare apples and apples? Like, I mean, I'd have to go back through our zoning code and try to figure out what these compare to currently under our code.
I was thinking the same thing. Like,
I don't know how to make an assessment of this at this point. All, except to say that, you know, when I think of 120, a 10-foot by 12-foot sign, I think that's pretty big.
Right.
So
what I'm looking at is more the flexibility that's here for the larger tenant, because right now it's 32 square feet per side across the board, whether you have 10 tenants in the building or if it's just you.
Yeah, and that's got to be changed. Right. That's not right.
Height is 8 feet across the board. And it's just, you know, especially Riverside Drive, it's higher traffic, faster traffic. It's harder to get that recognition, get that. If you have 10 tenants in the building on a 32 square foot side, you're all located, you know, this much. How do you see that going 45? Well, 35. You know?
65.
So since it's a highway, can we adopt different sign codes for that area?
You could.
I know when there was some talk about we can't just say this area can have this kind of sign and this area can have that kind of sign, but with the fact that it's a highway, maybe
you could do it by zoning district.
Right, you can do like a four-way or something.
In assessing highway sign codes, I'd want to know what the speed limits on those highways are. I mean, if we've got a roadway that's designed for 35 miles an hour, I wouldn't want to be putting up signs that were designed for people traveling at 45 to 50 miles an hour.
And they still have to be modest signs, but I'm just thinking maybe there's some way of having different sign codes for that area. And then the other problem I see is the multi-tenant. The height might be a problem on Riverside. Multi-tenant is a problem all over, I think. Well, in the few places we have that multi-tenant.
So it's not addressing maybe a large group, but you know, it is a problem and something I would like to pursue further. There's another thing too that I attached to the second page. I didn't address it in the memo. It's electronic message boards. Our ordinance doesn't regulate that. I mean, it regulates the amount of times you can change the reader board. Right now, we can have someone apply for a 32 square foot electronic message board, and that would be allowed. Talk about preserving the residential character of the village. I think number five on the second sheet, it says, this is just an example, shall not exceed 40% of the total sign area allowed. Something along those lines, I think, would be valuable implemented as well, especially since we're taking on at the sign code right now.
I'm in favor of having some of this stuff addressed, I think.
Yeah, me too.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, I don't need to
actually
kind of more
further. Right. Yeah, you don't want to go and do all that work and say, "Oh, we really don't actually want to change our sign codes."
I think you have to. If something's not going to address the future that you know is coming, you have to do something. So that's electronic messaging boards. You're absolutely right. 32 square feet is way too small for a multi-tenant building. So certainly is worth more evaluation if you come up with some recommendations or some different examples. Maybe Shorewood is a good example, or Wauwatosa. I was thinking of Wauwatosa myself. Any more discussion on item number 9?
Yeah, the only thing for future discussion, we should see graphic examples of what the proposals are, the changes.
Not the scale, though. That'd be hard to get in there.
Take a picture of one. Yeah.
That's in the nature of providing a graphic example. Yeah. But scale drawings are helpful so that we can actually take a measuring tool to them.
so you can visualize what it looks like going from 32 to 120.
Cool. Moving on to item number 10, action discussion of recodification project. This was on the agenda last time also, right? And I believe you had something to show us.
Right.
And it was, there was a lot of grammatical issues, I believe, right, that you're going to clean up on them.
Right. A lot of grammatical things. You know, you have, but then you have stuff like Chapter 266, junk dealers and auto salvage. It regulates those users, but then you look at our zoning code and you don't allow that in any of your zoning districts. So why do you have that chapter? So it's no-brainer things like that. One thing that's worth pointing out is. We came across the mixed-use kind of thing, the issue with our office district, it was something that was changed a while back, and the reference number was never changed, so we could never allow mixed-use in our village because we would have been non-compliant with our zoning code. This kind of addresses it. It's on page 15, and it will now point you to the correct chapter. Is essentially what it comes down to. So that was kind of the bigger thing. Can't find it here. But then following this. Sign thing and getting to Reed versus Town of Gilbert as far as regulating what kind of signs. It talks about political signs being kind of having less restrictions than other signs and their temporary uses, and general code didn't get into that, but that's something that we'll have to consider further. They're kind of more or less looking at organizational structure. Is everything within the code compliant with our own code? So this is kind of real straightforward, basic. I guess if the Planning Commission really wanted to make a motion in support of any specific changes, one way or the other, I would support that. Either way, but I believe you will have say later on when we finally get the final organizational document together in the final format. So this isn't adopting anything today. This is just kind of going through a rough draft, really, and the final draft will be later on.
So, are you proposing that we authorize you to make the necessary selections of revisions proposed by the consultant? And
yes.
Within the general code, right? Not within the zoning code?
Well, it's all we're doing is the zoning code.
Right. I have other chapters I'm looking at, and we're also, our attorney's going to look.
Oh, general code is the contractor.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Just read that.
So all of these comments we're seeing here on the display are all from the zoning chapter.
Right. Okay.
So a lot of it is straightforward, but there are some that require a little more research and a little more thought into it.
Can we just get the ones that don't require thought out of there and not look at them and then...
Yeah, we could do that.
Or do you want us to go through and say, yep, do that, because...
What happens on December 18th? Does it get, is that just for their consultants, their deadline?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the deadline they gave us to get the comments back? So is it a drop-dead date, or is it just...
They want us to give them as much information as we can. They would prefer the whole aspect, or the whole...
It's just that our next meeting is, would be after the 18th? So if we're going to have a discussion on this, we either have to establish a subcommittee that would meet with you, that would be authorized to make those choices, or we would have to wait and go through a full discussion at the next meeting.
Or we authorize Trevor to do it.
Right.
Yeah. How many are there in the zoning?
There's about 18 pages worth.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
but there's, what,
three per page? Maybe,
right.
Four. But again, some of them are simply just language.
Right. And there's no reason we can't just sort some of those out.
You know, the hard part about this, as I recall, is it doesn't refer us to the current chapter and section.
Right,
in the zoning code.
To the updated one.
So we have to go fishing through the whole code kind of to figure out what's going on. So, you're
correct. So it says, for example, compare 475-6B with, or 475-8B with 475-35B. So you'd have to come in here and scroll down to, you're correct, the new format.
Yeah, they've...
So there, I mean, I can take out some that are obvious no-brainers. There are some to me that, you know, it's a more of a judgment call, and there's some that I actually have to do research into and have been talking with Brown County and other municipalities to see what they do. But I can take those the obvious no-brainer ones. And
when things just don't connect.
Right.
Or the wrong numbers are in there.
And how many, you're going to have public hearings, right?
For the final adoption.
For the final adoption, which will come a ways away from now.
Right, I think, when was it, Brad? I think it was maybe June next year.
Probably most likely be around June.
Are there any that you've looked at that you think that you feel more comfortable with us giving a direction on? Let's start there.
And which are the judgment call ones?
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe it would be a better idea that we kind of sit through it and back, and in that way we have a lot of the no-brainer ones answered and provided back to the consultant, and they can, you know, because they have, I don't know how many chapters we have.
I mean,
if we don't get everything to them right away, it's not like they're going to be on this in 3 days and make all the changes that the staff has recommended.
So between the zoning code as we currently have it organized and the updated section markings and divisions, did they reposition any of those items? Or if we read them page for page, side by side, would they read the same and just the numbers would change?
Right.
They would.
Right.
Is there any reorganization that you think we ought to do?
There is, but that might be something when you look at further down the road. It gives general provisions in the beginning of the chapter, and then it gives standard regulations towards the end, you know, which to me are very similar, pretty much along the same lines, and they've highlighted duplicates of each, but they haven't repositioned them together. to me, I would much rather see them together. Same with definitions. We have definitions throughout the chapter. I'd rather see definitions than the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is there anything in here that changes the way a petitioner would come toward us with anything?
No.
Okay.
There are some, I mean, there's some fee discussions in here, but and that's something I would like to, after the site code discussion, work on the site plan PDD process and kind of get that streamlined, but that'd be something separate.
Aren't we trying to move to a separate fee schedule?
Yeah, take the fees out of your zoning ordinance.
Right, and that's done for the most part.
Okay, good.
Right.
Okay.
There are some areas that we missed when, I think Bill did that a few years ago.
Yep.
But just kind of getting at what the final product will look like. Town of Letcher used the same company. So this will get everything completely online, completely searchable. So I think garbage earlier. And one of the cool things is some municipalities refer to it as garbage, some refer to it as litter, for example. So it will bring up all synonyms as well. So you're searching through the code, it makes it really easy to bring and find things within the code. And it doesn't just look at zoning, it also brings up everything else that's referenced to it. So say I wanted to look at that. Well, a resident calls, or you're talking with a friend or whatever, and you want to then email just that section to your friend. And real simple. And then it has a direct link to it. The other cool part would be you can just print that section off right away. It also has new codes that have recently been adopted in reference with the old code. So that way you're able to see what has changed over time. It's just going to make things so much more user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So the language is one part, but the actual accessibility is something.
Just curious, how long does it take for a new ordinance to be codified? Put into the ordinance?
Through the general code?
Yeah.
I believe it's the same timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They basically already recodified it. But what they're at a point of doing a kind of a fine-tuning on inconsistencies in the code. So they've already renumbered everything, correct?
Right. But
certainly for zoning, it's obviously been renumbered. Mm-hmm. So the question is, do we like the way it's organized? And can we reorganize it in some fashion? And for these inconsistencies that they've identified, what choices do we make to resolve those?
And, you know, if we go down the site code route and we see something, every ordinance we adopt, I think that's what you're getting at, right, Wes? Every ordinance we adopt, they're going to review also and make sure that it matches.
It's in there.
Yeah.
Right.
So we don't mess it up again.
Right. It's a living document. So it'll be nice.
So they'll keep us from messing it up.
Right.
Yeah, it just made me nervous when I saw ordinance number 2014-07, which I assume is a date.
Right.
Of some sort, and it's still in a PDF form. You know, is that in the general code?
It is. That's just what was the change that was adopted.
Okay.
Now, here's kind of a sidebar question. When we reviewed the Quick Trip proposal on Webster, our zoning code required that their service building, convenience store, have a pitched roof. And they couldn't put a flat roof on because our zoning code would prohibit that.
Okay.
Is that the case? I'm asking.
Get on the canopy, I know.
Yeah. I believe the gas station the convenience store itself. Is that, no, you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm asking what our zoning code. I thought there was a design stipulation that had been brought up about the building.
Gable, mansard, hip.
So they can't use a flat roof.
Right.
So if they wanted to do a vegetated roof as a green kind of thing, they couldn't do it because our zoning code prohibits it.
Right, that would be either something we'd have to address in amending our ordinance or do a PDD.
Yeah. So I guess the reason I ask that is because, you know, it's one thing to renumber the code and clean it up, but it's another thing to get our code to represent things that we're interested in. So if we want to be people to be able to do sustainable buildings in certain aspects, our code prevents them from doing that. So.
Exactly. This isn't a fix as far as what our rules are. It's fixing accessibility and structure or formatting.
Mm-hmm.
But that core thing that comes along with this is every municipality across country that uses general code, we're able to access their codes and search mm-hmm. the database for similar laws that we're identified with. So that would be a valuable resource as well. So it won't just be like, oh, I was in Wauwatosa, let me look up their code, see what their, I can just type in, site codes. Obviously, it's going to bring up a huge number, but make it a little more easier.
So you were thinking that you could go through and do the no-brainers and have a list of those for them on the 18th, and they could get started on that and mm-hmm. still allow us to have some time at our next meeting, our December meeting, we could discuss some of the ones that you would like some more input on.
Right.
And provide that to them at later than the 18th, and that wouldn't hold them up.
Right. That would be a deal. To my knowledge, it's not a very hard deadline.
No. There's I don't know how many chapters that we're going through. A lot.
They have work to do.
So they've got a lot of work to do. Sure. And if it's just one section that's being held up, you shouldn't hold them up at all.
But I don't think that's a good process.
Yeah, let's do it. So next meeting, we'll make sure this is on the agenda again. Okay, moving on to item number 11, update on bicycle and pedestrian plan. Has there been a meeting between our last planning commission meeting and now?
There hasn't, but there is one scheduled on the 9th, I believe.
So is there no update?
There is no update. really, the info we've received, we have staff bringing out all the comments and everything, put comments that we think maps and we can file a list. We have a few pages, probably 5 pages of comments, and has been handed out to the public works director. So now it's just kind of analyzing those comments and seeing where we can actually realize it. But I'm a little behind as far as we should want that meeting before Thanksgiving, but other projects can come up to accomplish it. Yeah, we will have a meeting on December 9th at 5 p.m.
And Roger, you're on that committee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I guess if there's no other issues there, we'll move on. Next meeting date, December 28th. Does that work for everyone, or would you like to see something different than that?
I'll be here.
Works for me.
Yeah, I'll be here.
As far as I know.
Good, so I'll be here. Okay.
Yep.
Good, and we can keep it that way. So some of the carryovers, I guess we're going to keep on talking about the surplus tax. That'll just continue to be on the agenda. Are there any meetings with the state between now and December 28th that they're going to talk about Riverside Drive? Okay. If you see anything, you can talk about it under announcements. Okay. Discussion of sign code. Come back with something if you can. I know the holiday season's coming up here, sir. It is here. So it might be hard for you to get a lot of done, but if you do something done, I mean, it'd be good to, even graphics, whatever you can come up with. Get in front of us.
recodification that's going to come back with items that we need to provide input on. And then by then we should have an update on the bicycle and pedestrian progress. I can't imagine there's going to be any petitions between now and then, but maybe. I don't know. Okay, did I miss anything? Does anybody want anything else on the agenda?
Well, we should probably start talking about our annual report.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why don't we add that? Because the last one, I think, Roger, you had some comments that we were going to maybe look at doing it differently.
Well, I'm just trying to refine the organization so it it's clearer and easier to read.
Yeah. Maybe cut it down and really focus on the big things that have happened, not how many meetings we attended. Because if that's a metric, that's not good for us. It's based on attendance.
I think one thing was if we could relate some of the items, especially some of the projects we're looking toward, to, you know, our comprehensive plan, the visioning, results of the visioning sessions and the things like that, then
like
that would help. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Like it's a plan.
Well, just,
connected,
you know,
to the plan.
So why are you doing this? Why are you talking about this kind of thing? You know, like when I made my comment about the zoning code and the subsequent commenter started criticizing what I was saying, the reasons I said we needed a new zoning to update our zoning code. And so, you know, I think we should be clarifying why we do things, not just that we've done that. So.
Yep. No, that's great. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. If there's no other items to add to the agenda, I will take a motion to adjourn. Motion by Trustee Dark.
Second.
Second, third. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Are you cooking the turkey?
I think it's just going to be a drag.
Do you second that?